And greetings, friends. Will there be a new world order? How is this messed up, chaotic world going to get straightened out? Do you realize that events are now underway which will change everything around you? How can you know and know that you know what really lies just ahead of us? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith explains the New World Order. And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
Enormous changes are destined to overtake our world over the next several years, my friends. They will dramatically affect your family, your life, more than most of you can even imagine. Let me tell you where we're really headed. First, the bad news, but followed up very quickly by the good news that most of you do not yet understand. Now, the bad news. The United States, Britain, Canada, and Australia are now, right now, and a major turning point in our national histories. Let me explain. We have been blessed immensely with great natural resources. Not that many years ago, we controlled 3/4 of the developed resources of the entire earth. Together, America, Britain, Canada, and these other nations won World War I, World War II, both wars in Iraq, and a number of other conflicts. However, we are increasingly turning away from the great God who gave us these blessings and these military victories. Yes, there is a very real God. As a people, we've largely forsaken that God. Our media and our intellectual and political leaders often act as if that very real God doesn't even exist. Increasingly, our courts and many of our major religious denominations are condoning the murder of millions of unborn children, various forms of sexual perversion, and a growing wave of pornography and filth in our media, which is an absolute stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. We had better wake up before it is too late. Jesus Christ directly prophesied an enormous worldwide tribulation to occur just before His second coming. It's going to change everything around you. And the events just preceding that tribulation are going to be terrible. And you need to understand. Turn with me in your Bible. Turn to me to verses that have always been there. These verses have been in this Bible for 2,000 years. Turn with me to Matthew in your New Testament. Matthew chapter 24 and beginning in verse 3 and the Olivet prophecy that Jesus Christ gave. Now as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of Your coming and of the end of the age?" They didn't ask about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. They asked about the end of the age. And that's just ahead of us, my friends. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And frankly, your Bible shows that the vast majority of human beings have been deceived. Not just some preacher over in a cave somewhere. He's talking about the majority of human beings. Notice this. Many will come, not few. Many will come in My name. They'll come in the name of Jesus. And they will say, "I am the Christ." They'll tell you that Jesus is the Christ. They'll use His name. And will deceive many. Not the few, the many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. "See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." And the rest of your Bible, everywhere, indicates that these things are going to be far worse than any of these storms and conditions that we've ever experienced before. More powerful earthquakes. More powerful hurricanes and tornadoes. These events will literally shake this entire earth. Picture the massive hurricanes we've already experienced, my friends, in recent years. Picture the enormous earthquakes which have already occurred in our time. Have you been hearing about this coming great tribulation where you worship? Why not? Do you know specifically what to watch for? Do you know how to escape this coming great tribulation? And then he says in verse 20, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. God's people will still be observing the Sabbath day wherever God's people are. And they're going to have a flight to safety, a place of safety here on this earth. For then will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. Do you think that the Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, knew what he was talking about? He said, there's never been anything like this. It's not going to be just another war. It's going to literally shatter our whole society. Everything around us will change. And he shows then in verse 22, unless those days were shortened, unless the great God of heaven intervened, no flesh would be saved. Or as many modern translations have it, no flesh would be saved alive. In other words, we would have cosmicide. The atomic bombs, the hydrogen bombs, the nerve gases, all these other inventions, biochemical warfare, germ warfare, all these things could literally wipe out humanity. There would be no one left on planet Earth unless God intervened. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And then he talks about false prophets and false signs, and he says in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Again, massive intervention by the Creator. The Creator shakes His creation to show His displeasure with what we've been doing. Notice verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They don't know about God. They don't know about the true Christ and His message. They will be deceived. That's why they'll mourn. This world is deceived. And they will be even more deceived, perhaps, by this time because of a great false prophet soon to arise. They will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory. They're going to see Jesus Christ returning to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's when the glorious good news begins, as you will see. Follow me in your Bible. Turn now with me to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, and let's begin here in verse 15. You'll see in the preceding verses, he's talking about the various woes that God is going to send on the earth. And then he talks about a massive earthquake in verse 13. And he says in verse 14 of Revelation 11, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then, verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Not up in heaven, the kingdoms of this world here on this earth. And He, Jesus Christ, will reign forever and ever. Some of you remember the Messiah and the various oratorios talking about Him coming to reign forever and ever. And it is going to happen, my friends. That is going to be the new world order, and it is going to come within the lifetimes of the majority of you. You're going to live to see it within the next number of years of this earth, and it's coming pretty soon as far as God's timetable is concerned. You need to be ready. You need to understand the purpose that the great God is working out here below. Notice Revelation chapter 5 this time. Go back to chapter 5 and beginning in verse 8. You see here they have a prayer. The prayers of the saints are given. And they sang a new song, verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, talking about Jesus Christ being slain for our sins, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. Kings rule and priests teach. We're going to teach and we're going to rule. The true saints of God, this is our calling. This is why we're open, have our minds open. This is why we're here if we're true Christians. You have made us in His plan. God has made us ahead of time. He's predestined this, that we should be made kings and priests to our God. And where are we going to be? Are we going to float off to heaven with nothing to do? we shall reign on the earth. Yes, it says that. That's what it says. I know what many of you have been taught about floating off to heaven with nothing to do, but your Bible says over and over and over that the coming kingdom of God will be set up on this earth. This is the real new world order, my friends, and you should be preparing for it. You should be thinking about it, studying about it, understanding the purpose that your Creator is working out as world events get worse and worse, our nations get in more trouble, the pride of the power of America and Britain go on down, and things seem to be turning bad, and people wonder why. You can understand. You'll know why, and you'll know that it's darkest just before the dawn, and that Christ is coming back to this earth soon in the lifetimes of most of you. Now back to our topic, the New World Order. Again, my friends, notice Revelation 5 and verse 10, what we're reading just before the break. Here God tells us in His inspired word that we have been made kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We do not go up to heaven, we reign on the earth. And saints of God, that is true Christians, not some people in white robes or something, true saints of God, those who are filled with and led by His Spirit, who have Christ's Spirit, Christ living within them, they are preparing now, if they understand, we better all come to understand that our job is to prepare to be kings and priests in a coming new world order, in tomorrow's world, in the kingdom of God to be set up under the true Jesus Christ here on this earth. And your Bible is filled with all of this, and most of you have never understood it before. You need to understand. Turn back to Revelation 2, Revelation chapter 2 now, and notice verse 26. Here Christ is speaking. He says, "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." Not rebellious nations up in heaven, but nations on this earth, obviously. "He shall rule them," that is the saints, the overcomer, those who overcome and themselves overcome the world, overcome Satan the devil, and do God's work and obey God, serve God, who overcome. "He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, as I also have received from my Father." In other words, Jesus was to do this same thing, but He says the saints will also do that. That's our job. We have a job to do in the near future, not just floating off to heaven. That's why we need to really study this book. That's why we need to open our minds and open our hearts to what the Bible is really telling us. This is what your Bible says over and over. May God help you to understand and to act. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1. "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming," Zechariah writes, "and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem." Yes, against that city of Jerusalem, the nations of the earth are going to come. And there's going to be a massive war, and you need to understand it. "The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Some will remain, of course. There is a city divided there even now, as you know, and that division will continue up until Christ's return. "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle." Jesus Christ returning to this earth to crush the rebellious nations who literally fight Him when He comes. Why? Because they're blinded. They've been taught wrong ideas, and they don't even recognize Christ that is coming. "And in that day His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives." Yes, Christ is going to return to the Mount of Olives. It's on this earth. I've been to the Mount of Olives a number of times. Perhaps you have too. A number of people get over there. It's not up in heaven. It's here on this earth where Christ will return and stay to be the King of kings and Lord of lords here on this earth. Notice verse 9. "The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and His name is one." Yes, Christ will remain and rule here for 1,000 years. The world capital will be Jerusalem. Once again, it will be called the City of Peace. Think about that, this great city over there that's in such turmoil. But, of course, it means City of Peace, and it will be the City of Peace in a few years. And God's new world order. Not man's new world order, but God's new world order. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. And now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Eternal's house shall be established over the top of the mountains. And throughout the Bible, most scholars and most denominations recognize that term mountain means kingdom or government. Christ's government will be over all the other governments, and it will be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He's talking about the great spiritual law of God, the Ten Commandments that tell us how to love God and how to love our fellow man. And we're not to have any other gods before the true God or idols or take God's name in vain. We're to remember the true Sabbath and keep it holy. We're to remember that Sabbath, and most people forget it. Even those who call themselves Christians, they cannot and will not obey the fourth commandment. God says you're to honor your father and mother. You're not to kill. You're not to steal. You're not to commit adultery. You're not to lie. You're not to lust and covet. That law will go forth as a way of life. And he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Christ and the resurrected saints shall rule here on earth, and they will teach people the ways of God. They will teach people about God's laws that tell us how to love God, how to love our neighbor, how to have peace. And they will learn that way because the true saints, hopefully you and I, will be there to teach them. We need to think about it. Are we preparing to do that? All true Christians need to learn God's laws and his ways and prepare to take part in what is really going to happen. A genuine new world order will be set up here on earth within this generation. Think about it. Pray about it, my friends. Understand, it's in your Bible. Notice Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And of course, Christ, so many scriptures show us, was a descendant of Jesse, the father of David. The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might. With righteousness he'll judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He's going to be a righteous ruler. Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. A time of peace. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Think of this beautiful earth at total peace. Think of people enjoying the mountains, the valleys, the vast oceans, the gorgeous things that God has made, and families who love each other, for divorce is never even mentioned, for people learn to love, to give, to share. They're filled with and led by God's Spirit because they've learned God's way of life based on the Ten Commandments, God's way, his great spiritual law. But we have hate and violence now, and that has got to change. Notice verse 11. It shall come to pass in that day the Lord shall set up his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people from Assyria, Egypt, and will assemble the outcasts of Israel. And frankly, that includes the British Commonwealth and American peoples, and gathered together dispersed of Judah, Israel, and Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also the envy of Ephraim. People tend to hate and be jealous of America and Britain and the power that we've been given in Ephraim and Manasseh, if you understand who we are in Bible prophecy. And the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. We now have hate and violence against the Jews, and that hate is growing in Europe and all over the world, and certainly in the Middle East. But all anti-Semitism will end in tomorrow's world. There will be no more wars and persecutions and massive suffering anywhere once Christ's kingdom gets fully underway. But they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. they shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. This is the genuine good news. This is the true gospel. It's coming to planet Earth soon, a real world order that is new, that is wonderful. Finally, my friends, remember, it is darkest just before the dawn. The real good news comes just after the horrifying tribulation, and we need to understand that. It's going to be a wonderful time once we get past the tribulation, but we'd better be serving and walking with God now so we'd be protected from that tribulation and be these kings and priests in the wonderful tomorrow's world. Remember Isaiah 11, verse 9, where God tells us, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Let's be sure that we are full of the knowledge of the Lord so we can be there and fulfill the purpose that God has intended for all of us to enjoy. A time of unequal joy and peace lies just ahead. Now listen to what the inspired Peter tells us. Turn with me, if you would, to your New Testament again, your New Testament, and I'm going to begin reading here in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse 19. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, where the apostle Peter is preaching. He said, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before." Yes, Christ is coming again, Peter tells us. So many people just leave that out of their thinking. So many preachers just leave that out of their preaching. That is the great, massive, wonderful good news of what lies just ahead. The good news of a whole new world, a new world order. So Christ is coming, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, a time of restoring God's way of life here on this earth, a time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. My friends, there are prophecies all the way through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Zechariah. Virtually every prophecy in your Bible talks about this when you understand. And most of us have not heard that message. Please open your mind, open your heart, look into the Bible. Smell the coffee, you know, wake up and smell the coffee, as we say. There's a new world order coming. It's real, and it's just filling your Bible, the pages of your Bible, in scripture after scripture. Let each of us examine ourselves, my friends. Let each of us repent and accept the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful good news about Christ's return in a whole new world order. And let's do our part to prepare for Christ's government in tomorrow's world, the real new world order.